Very good. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to 2 Corinthians 8 with me. 2 Corinthians 8. We are excited to be here. We have known your pastor and his wife for a long time. His wife longer than him. We were in a youth department with her, so we've known her since we were teenagers. And then they got, for the right price, we have stories, all right? But we love her family that she came from, and then she met your pastor. They got married, and they were on staff at our home church that we grew up at while I was on staff. And so we served together for a lot of years, like he said, and just love them, excited about what God's doing with them here. And I hope you know that you're blessed and privileged to have them. Just people that love the Lord and are sincere and just choice servants of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. We'll get right into Sunday school. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning at Sunday school. And so be ready to turn in your Bibles and things like that, all right? It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that he had begun, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion, the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." Let's pray. God, we love you, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house. Lord, what a blessing it is to get to be at this church with these people. Lord, I just pray that you would empty me of self and sin. Help me as I teach your word this morning. God, hide me behind the cross. Use me as a mouthpiece, Lord, to speak through me. Lord, I do pray that we would all have receptive ears and hearts, God, that we would hear and heed your word. God, that we would then take your word and apply it to our lives and let it do with what you want it to do in our lives. God, I pray that we'd be drawn closer to you as a result of this morning and this lesson in Sunday school. God, again, just bless your word and do a work among us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, obviously, this is missions revival beginning, and I know I see the flags, and so very mindful that your church is thinking of missions. We just had our missions conference actually last week, and so it is that time of year for us as well. And so the lesson this morning is just this: the benefits of Faith Promise missions. The benefits of Faith Promise missions and the idea of Faith Promise missions giving. Here in our text, of course, this is the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to the church at Corinth, but he's speaking about other churches and he's encouraging them to get involved in giving. Now, at this time, what they were doing is they were taking an offering for those that were needy and being persecuted in Jerusalem. And so he's bringing that all to the attention of the Corinthian church. And he's using the example of these other churches. He says that right in verse 1 of Macedonia. And so he talks about how that they gave, even though they were in deep poverty. And he talks about the riches of their liberality. They were liberal givers. They gave willingly and sacrificially and above what even maybe they thought they were able. And it was out of a desire to help meet the need of these other believers. And so the idea of Faith Promise missions, of course, the principle of it is no question a scriptural one, which is faith giving, free will offerings by faith and committing to do it. And this example here, Paul's talking about of giving to this other church. And he says some other things and talks about the giving, but he just is explaining to them that they need to be involved. And then he says this, if you drop down in verse number 7, he says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything," he gives them some examples, faith. Obviously, as believers, we would, no question, think about often that we ought to abound in faith. Our faith ought to grow. We know that. That's what he's talking about. Then he says we ought to abound in utterance, in speaking. And we could even go there in the idea of witnessing to others. And that would be kind of what he's talking about there. And then in knowledge and knowing the Word of God and in diligence, just being diligent as a child of God. And even in love to those God put over them. And Paul says that. But then he says this. So he's reminding them of all these things that they commonly think of that we need to do more and more of, we need to abound in. And the idea, no doubt, that he was getting across here is the same one that he had talked about at the end of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 when he told them they were always abound in the work of the Lord. So always going forward. So these are things we think of. Our faith, being a witness, loving others and loving those in leadership, our knowledge of Scripture. These are second nature almost, if you've been saved very long at all, that we at least know we need to do better in these things. But then he says, see that you abound in this grace also. And the grace he was talking about was giving. He was talking about the idea of giving towards the needs of others. And of course, Faith Promise Missions, we know, is giving to reach the lost. And so several things this morning, which is very practical out of the Scripture, that are benefits of faith, promise, giving. When we know something's going to benefit us, we're much more likely to get involved in it. Not just in spiritual ways. We do know that spiritually. If we know, hey, if I do this, it's going to help me. But even just thinking of the life we live, things that we know will help us. If you invest in this, it'll help you. If you have a car, if you put money in maintenance, your car will last longer. Well, that motivates you to maintain your car. I'm going to change the oil. I'm going to make sure that I get the brakes done. I'm going to do tune-ups when I'm supposed to. Why? Because I don't have to buy a new car every time I turn around. They're too expensive. So it benefits me. That costs me money too. Oil changes aren't free. Maintenance is not free, but I'll put money in that because it's going to save me money in the long run. It benefits me. And that's the idea. Faith Promise Missions does benefit us. And so we're going to look at several ways this morning. First of all, it allows us to evaluate our priorities every week. It allows us to evaluate our priorities every week. We all have priorities. Now, we may not all think about them all the time. It may not be something that we're all conscious of all the time. I don't wake up every day myself and go through a list of these are my priorities for my life. But we all have them. And whether you ever think about it or not, we live, and how we live shows our priorities. And so our priorities, we need to evaluate them each week. The Bible has much to say. We're going to talk about this more at 11, about our priorities. But faith, promise, giving lets us evaluate them every week. In verse 5 of chapter 8 here, the first thing we can ask ourselves every week when we're given to Faith Promise Missions is allows us to check, are we committed to God and His work? Are we committed to God and His work? Later on this week, we'll talk about verse 5 and more of it, but it talks about in verse 5 that they first gave their own selves. They were committed. They were committed to the work of the Lord. You and I need to be able to check ourselves. Am I committed to the work of God? Life gets busy. There's a lot of things we have to do. We have family responsibilities and work responsibilities and responsibilities around our homes. And there's a lot that we have to do. We live in a very hectic, busy society. And it's not going to change anytime soon. We've all seen the things or heard the things or read the memes that talk about that being an adult is just saying constantly, it's going to slow down here soon. And it never does. You say it for the rest of your life. And that's just where we live. That's our culture, our society. So we have a lot of responsibilities, no doubt about that. But the devil would love to get us busy doing things that are not wrong so that we forget what's most important. That's being committed to the work of God. So are we committed? Faith Promise Missions gives us an opportunity to evaluate that. With how I'm giving, what I've committed to the Lord, is God and His work a priority in my life? Secondly, go to John chapter 9 with me. Go to John chapter 9 with me. As I said, we're going to look at some scripture this morning. John chapter number 9. Giving to reach others, giving to missions around the world, and trying to fulfill that part of the Great Commission, which is our responsibility. It also allows us to evaluate our priorities in this light. What is our highest priority? John chapter number 9, look at verse 4 with me. It says, I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus was saying, I have to be busy doing what my Father wants me to do. You and I have to be mindful of the same thing. Yeah, there's a lot of things to keep us busy. There's a lot of things that fill our time. They're not even bad things. I'm not talking about this morning things we need to get out of our life. No, I'm talking about God-given responsibilities. But all of those should come behind doing what the Lord wants me to do, following God and accomplishing His work. And so faith promise giving allows us to evaluate our priorities every week. Number two, it allows us to examine our motives. It allows us to examine our motives. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, just one chapter past where we were this morning for our text. It allows us to examine our motives. Why do we do what we do? It's absolutely important that we do what's right. But if you study Scripture, and I'm teaching a session at a men's conference coming up, and my subject was on the judgment seat of Christ. And if you study all of that out, the basis for that entire judgment seat is not just what we did, but why we did it. And if we're not careful, we can do the right things, but our motives aren't what they ought to be. And on the outside, it looks like, man, he's really doing what he's supposed to. But God in heaven is going, doesn't matter what he's doing because his heart's not right. And so we have to understand that. Faith promise allows us to examine our motives. First of all, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, the Bible says this: "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Here's the question: what kind of harvest do we want? What kind of harvest do we want? There's a reason we're given to Faith Promise Missions. If it's just so that your pastor will quit asking you about it, that's not the right motive. If it's just because you've always been taught it's the right thing to do, it's not the right motive. Why are we doing it? We're doing it to reach souls. We give to Faith Promise Missions because I cannot physically possibly go to every country in the world in a lifetime. And if I can't go to every country, then I guarantee I can't talk to every creature on earth like God commanded me to. So then how can I fulfill the Great Commission? I give money so somebody else can go on my behalf. That's what missionaries do. We support them financially so they can go to other countries and they can reach people that I'll never meet. And so understanding that, what kind of harvest do I want? How many of you in here at home have a garden? We've done gardens some. We didn't do one this year. But when we do a garden, obviously, your yield is absolutely tied to how much you plant. If you plant one tomato plant, you'll probably get some tomatoes, but not a ton. The best thing that comes out of a garden, in my opinion, when we've done a garden, my wife always asks us, so what do we want to plant this year? And I never have any opinion except I want a bunch of tomatoes. Garden tomatoes are amazing. It's the absolute best thing that comes out of a garden, in my opinion. And so I say, tons of tomato plants. The rest doesn't matter to me. And, you know, my kids will go, we want to plant peppers. We want to plant watermelons. That's all fine. I want tomatoes. And I want lots of tomato plants because lots of plants means lots of tomatoes. And that's what I want. The idea there is the more you plant, the more you get. That's the same principle here. Only he's talking about with giving in souls. When we give bountifully, we're going to reap bountifully. That's the idea. So what kind of harvest do we want? Do I want a whole bunch of people? Do I want the world to be reached? Or do I give like I'm not that concerned about it? One plant's enough. No, we ought to give bountifully. Second, it allows us to examine our motives. The second motive we can talk about this morning, go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. Luke 6 and verse 38. Look at it with me. It says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." I'm going to say this a couple times because it's a little bit of a tongue twister. Do we give to get, or do we give to get to give? Those are two options. Do we give to get, meaning I give because I want God to bless me? The Bible does teach, no question, God blesses us when we give. No doubt about that. But that shouldn't be the motivation for my giving. It shouldn't be all about, I just want God to bless me and give to me. Or do we give to get so we can give? We ought to pray, Lord, increase my finances so I can give more. It's not just about, I want more money to go buy all the things I want and to do all the things I want. There's nothing wrong with that. But as believers, we've got to be mindful, Lord. No, I want you to increase my income so that I can give more to your work. There are, I've known in my lifetime, just a few, not a ton, but a few of God's children, Christians, that servants of God, faithful people, that were active and involved in their churches that God had tremendously blessed financially. We would say they were wealthy. But you know, to a fault, every one of them were incredibly generous givers. Are incredibly generous givers. I'm not going to say that's the only reason, but I can guarantee you that's one reason God allowed them to be wealthy. Because he knew, they're going to give a ton to my work. so I'm going to give them a lot. And they were very, very generous. I'm thinking of a couple off the top of my head that just were extremely generous with their money. Gave and gave and gave and gave. Yes, they were very well off, but they also did right with their finances. They gave to get more so they could give more. They understood the principle. If we're not careful, we just give to get. Lord, I need my finances better, so I'm going to give to you. So help this. Well, there's some of that that can happen, but we need to make sure our motives are right. And then lastly, go to Acts chapter 5 with me. Acts chapter 5. Lastly, in point 2, don't get excited, I'm not done yet. Acts chapter number 5. I know I said lastly. That doesn't mean I'm finished. All right. The last thing about examining our motives, let's say it that way, all right? Acts chapter number 5, verses 1 through 10. We know the text. It says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. We'll read the rest in a second. Make no mistake, this text often is very misunderstood. Their sin was not that they didn't give all the money. That wasn't their sin at all. They weren't required to give all the money. There's nowhere in Scripture that says when you sell something, you have to give every bit of the money to the Lord. It's nowhere in the Bible. The Bible teaches us that we tithe. The tenth of our increase, it's very specific about that, and that we need to give offerings, because in Malachi it says they robbed God in tithes and offerings. So if you can rob God in it, you need to give it. So we need to give offerings, we need to tithe. Nowhere in Scripture does it say you have to give everything. Now, there were people in this time period, in the book of Acts, due to persecution, that were giving everything. They would sell their property. The Bible talks about having all things in common. It was by their choice. There was nothing that said Ananias and Sapphira had to give all this money. And if they would have came and said, listen, we sold some property, we want to give this part to God, they wouldn't have died here. They wouldn't have sinned. The sin was they came giving the impression, we're giving everything. We're really sacrificing. When in reality, they'd put a bunch back. They weren't giving everything. So they lied to the Holy Ghost. And the reason they did it is this, and this is the third point about allowing us to examine our motives. Do we give to glorify ourselves? Do we give to glorify ourselves? Why did Ananias and Sapphira lie in the first place? They wanted to look good. They didn't want to really sacrifice, but they wanted everyone to think they did. Peter, this is everything. We're giving everything. Again, understanding these accounts in Scripture, God records for us what we need. We don't have every detail recorded. It's very likely, knowing how close the first church there in Acts was, that they had probably told a lot of people, we're giving all this money. We're going to give it all to God. And they'd given this whole impression that we're going to give it all to the Lord when they weren't. And they didn't have to. There would have been nothing wrong with them coming in and saying, hey, we sold some land. We want to give this as an offering. The Lord would have accepted the offering. The Apostle Peter would have been grateful for that. There would have been no sin. But they lied, and they lied to make themselves look good. That's why they did it. And if we're not careful, that's why we give. To glorify ourselves. To make sure we look good in the eyes of man. Whether it's your pastor, whether it's your other friends in the church, whatever the reason, we can't give to make ourselves look good, but that's what they've done. And we won't read the rest of the text, but his wife doubles down on the whole thing. He dies immediately. They carry him out. She comes in a little bit later, and Peter says, is this what you sold the property for? Which is the amount they gave? She said it is. She died too, and they carried her out. Why? Because they were giving to glorify themselves. It wasn't about that they didn't give all the money. It was about that they were trying to make themselves look good, and they lied about the amount they were giving. So Faith Promise Missions allows us to evaluate our priorities every week. And it does that because we're to give weekly. It allows us to examine our motives. Third, it allows us to give evidence of our love each week. It allows us to give evidence of our love each week. Go to John chapter number 21. Go to John chapter number 21. John John chapter number 21. Another very familiar passage of Scripture. This is, of course, Jesus Christ. After he's been crucified, he's resurrected, and he's talking to Peter. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. And the Bible says this, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." I don't have time this morning, and it's not the thrust of this lesson in Sunday school, but this text, the reason Jesus asked three times, at least one we can get from the text, is because Peter's first answer was not wrong, but it wasn't strong enough. The words are different, and the way he's talking about love is different in his first answer and his third. Jesus was wanting to know, do you love me the way you should? Peter says, I mean, I love you. That wasn't what Jesus was after. So he asked again and again. He was trying to get Peter to the point where he understood, your love for me has to be greater than that. The first answer wasn't enough. The way you talked about loving me wasn't enough. He was trying to get Peter to see that. The question is, how much do we love the Lord? How much do we love the Lord? There's no question. We're here for Sunday school on a Sunday morning. We would all say, if we were asked, we love the Lord. And I think we're sincere in that. I don't think we're insincere in saying that we love the Lord. But do we love Him like we ought to? Do we love Him like we ought to? The Bible tells us we're to love the Lord God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. We're to love Him with everything. He has to be number one in our life. In the book of Colossians, it talks about that Jesus should have the preeminence. That means to be above all and over all. It should be the number one thing in our life. Nothing else should even compare. When he talks about if you don't hate father and mother, why would he say that? He wasn't saying you have to hate your family, but he was saying our love for him should be so high that our love for everyone else looks like hatred. That's what he was saying. It was a comparison. So how much do we love him? Do we love the Lord like we ought to? Do we love him that way? Next, it allows us to give evidence of our love each week. Do we abound in the grace of giving? We already looked at that. Chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians verses 7 and 8. He tells them they should abound in this grace. Again, this is not one we focus on a whole lot. Yeah, we want to grow our faith. We want to be a better witness. We focus on some of those things. We want to know more of the Word of God. We want to be more obedient to Him. Well, we need to focus on the grace of giving and do a better job in that. That's what he's saying there. It allows us to give evidence of our love each week. Financially giving is not the only way we can show we love the Lord, but it is one way. It is one way. There's a lot of ways that I can show my wife that I love her. One of those ways is I can give her gifts and things like that. Now, that's not the only thing. That's not all love is, but that is one way that I show I love her. And we would say, well, that shouldn't matter. Well, and she's not a materialistic person. My wife's not one that I have to give lots of lavish things to. But I can guarantee you this, we'll be married 25 years next year, and if I'd never, ever given her any gift, she'd wonder if I loved her. Is that because giving gifts is the only sign of love? No, but it's one of them. And when it comes to serving the Lord, no, giving money is not the only way we show Him we love Him, but it's sure one of them. And we need to abound in that, and that's what he's talking about. Number four, this is the last one. This is the last one. The benefits of faith promise, missions, giving. It allows us to evaluate our priorities. That's the first one. And we need to do that. We can't just go through life week after week and month after month just letting happen what happens. No, we have to look at ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. The Bible tells us that. How am I doing? Am I where I ought to be? So it allows us to do that. It allows us to examine our motives. Am I doing it for the right reason? It allows us to give evidence of our love every week. And then lastly, it allows us to be part of reaching the world. It allows us to be part of reaching the world. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verses 12 and 13. He says, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of the ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men." Faith promise missions is a very effective way to supply the need to reach the world. I can't go to every country in the world, not in a lifetime. If that's all I did, if that was vocationally what I did, is I'm going to go to every country in the world in a lifetime. Finances, there's no way I could go to every country. And even if I could, I couldn't talk to all the people. So we know that I can't reach the whole world physically speaking. Well, financially, we can't do it all by ourselves either. It doesn't matter how wealthy or independently wealthy I might be. I can't by myself fund reaching the whole world with the gospel, sending missionaries everywhere. No, God planned for it to be something we did together. And that's what he's talking about in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, is this idea that the churches came together, worked together to meet a need. Not one of the churches could get it done, but all of them together could. We have missionaries that are out of our church, two missionary families that are out of our church, sent out of our church. One of them is retiring at the beginning of next year. They've been missionaries for 30 years, and they're missionaries to Zambia. And they got to be with us in our missions conference, and we got to go see their work in 22 in Zambia. It was an amazing thing, and God has used them. They were faithful to the Lord. They planted several churches and worked with several others and that are pastored by national Zambian pastors. It's just really neat. But the only way they got to go is because a whole bunch of churches gave financially. Our church heavily supports them, but our church didn't give them enough to get there. And the truth is, we couldn't have. Even though they're out of our church, we don't have the finances for that. But he went on deputation like other missionaries you guys have had. You had one last week, and they're trying to raise money. Why? So they can get to the field. And when a whole bunch of churches give, they get to the field. Then they can stay on the field. They can do the work of God because we give. And we give together. And that's the idea. That's how we supply the need. The Great Commission is twofold. It's one, that I'm supposed to be a witness for the Lord here. We'll talk about that later in week two. But it's also that we're to reach the world, and we can only do that through giving and prayer. That's how we do that. That's how we do that. And we get involved in Faith Promise missions. And when you give to missions, it doesn't matter how much you give, but if it's given to the Lord and it's given with the right motive and we all are cooperating together, God can take that and do what needs to be done. God takes that and does what needs to be done. The devil would love to convince us about our giving. Well, what you give doesn't really matter. That's just not true. Your giving is part of how God supplies the need for missionaries. You say, well, if I don't give, nobody even miss it. That's not true either. It doesn't take too many people thinking like that before the missionary doesn't have enough support and they can't stay on the field. Your pastor could tell you this. There's times when a missionary has to come home, and the main reason they have to come home is they have to raise more money because churches have had to drop support because the church's offerings have went down. They don't have the money anymore. Why does that happen? Because people don't give. Because people don't give. It's not because the churches didn't want to support them. It's not because they weren't doing a good job. It's because the money wasn't there. Our giving supplies the need of the world to reach the world with the gospel. That's what it does. God uses it. God multiplies it. We could talk about that principle and what the Lord does and how he took the little boy's lunch and he fed so many thousands of people. We could talk about what he said about the widow woman that threw in the two mites, and he told the disciples as they watched, she gave more than all the wealthy people that gave, because she gave sacrificially. She gave all she had. God can take that and do a lot with it. It supplies the needs worldwide. Also, when I say it allows us to be part of reaching the world, giving will bring the blessing of increased faith. Giving will bring the blessing of increased faith. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Verses 15 and 16. He says, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line, of things made ready to our hand. Giving will bring the blessing of increased faith. Part of what God wants to do through Faith Promise Missions is He wants to grow your faith. And He wants us to give based on faith. If we're not careful, sometimes we miss that and we make it a very logical transaction. And don't get me wrong, we have to be logical even with our giving. The tithe is just set. God gets 10%. There's no logic required. I give God what is His. But when we're going to give offerings, we have to use our head. We have to let the Holy Spirit lead us, but we do have to think. You say, what do you mean? Well, obviously, if you gave all of your money to missions, you wouldn't have any money to live. God doesn't expect that. But part of what we miss is that our giving should be by faith. It should be by faith. Lord, what do you want me to give? I tell our church every year, and I'm not upset with a lot of pastors I know and a lot of good friends of mine in the ministry, like to set financial goals. Well, we want our church to give this much to missions this year. I think that's fine. I've never felt led by God to do that because my goal is that all my people give what God wants them to. I don't need to know the amount. If they all obey and do what the Lord tells them to, our church will have all the money we need to support missionaries. But the key is to do what God wants me to do. Too often we look at our pocketbook and we look at what we have and we go, well, this is what I can give. So Lord, this is what I'm going to give to missions. Well, praise the Lord for giving. But what if He wanted you to give more than you think you can give? You say, well, that's all that I have left. That's what I can give because it's what I have left. Well, what if He wanted you to do without some things that you don't have to have? Maybe it's not as many coffees a week. Maybe it's not as many times eating out. Maybe it's not as many, on and on we could go with things that are not wrong. But we don't have to have them. They're not necessities. Maybe part of God's stretch in our faith is that He wants us to give some of that up. And so He says, no, give more than you have left. And watch me provide it. And watch me provide it. There's a lady in our church that I was at a visit at the hospital. Her husband's just recently been put on hospice. And I was up at the hospital. She was talking about they've been involved in Faith Promise Giving for over 60 years. That was a blessing in itself. And they're just faithful, faithful people. And I was waiting to hear some great testimony of some wonderful, you know, thing the Lord had done. And she talked about some of those just generally. But her specific example she gave me was one of them not doing what they should have. I didn't ask for it. That's just what she told me. It was a very interesting testimony. And she said not long after we started giving a faith promise, there was a week where we didn't feel like we could do it. And so we said, well, we'll make it up. And she said it wasn't but a week or so after that, they had to take one of their kids to the doctor, and the bill was the exact amount they hadn't given the missions. And she said, we learned way back then, you give God what's His first. Again, I didn't ask her for that. She just felt led of God to tell me that. You say, what are you getting at? Well, their faith wasn't enough at that point. You said, you think God did that? I'm not saying that. And she didn't come out and say that. But it sure looked awful coincidental. The idea she was talking about, God grew our faith through that. And that's what she said. We realized He'll take care of us if we just do what we told Him we'll do. And it increases our faith. We have to have our faith increased. When you give like God wants you to, when you honor Him with your finances, your faith will be increased. Because it doesn't make sense, secularly speaking. I've heard all kinds of testimonies of people that give like God tells them to when they go to have their taxes done, if they have their taxes prepared, and the person's saying, why do you give so much to the church? You know what you can do with that money? And on paper, it doesn't make a lot of sense. How in the world do you pay your bills? God takes care of us. God takes care of us. And by the way, it's not always with money. Sometimes He increases our faith because He takes care of other things. The Bible in the book of Malachi talks about He rebukes the devourer. The idea of that is He will take care of things, making them last longer than they should. It talks about in the wilderness when the children of Israel walked through the wilderness that their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. Well, how's that possible? Because God can do that. I can tell you right now, I've had some appliances that should have died a long time ago. They're still running. You say, that's just a coincidence. I don't think it is. You say, they're just made really well. I don't think that's it either. I just think God can do that. We've had vehicles. We keep vehicles for a long time. And I'm not upset with people that don't. That's just what we do. But I've had two vehicles now, well over 200,000 miles, running just fine. You say, well, they were well made. Yeah, I think God takes care of that. As long as I can be faithful and do what He tells me to do, God can take care of things that I can't take care of. He can make things last. He can keep me from having bills that I didn't foresee coming. But I need to honor Him. And so faith promise missions giving allows us to be part of reaching the world. And it'll increase our faith. It'll increase our faith. Faith Promise Missions, probably to most of you this morning in Sunday school, is not a new thought. It's not a new concept. I'm sure y'all have been talking about it even these last several weeks. But there's some benefits to it we can't lose sight of. It does allow us to evaluate our priorities. Are they what they ought to be? Do I have things in the right order? It does allow me to examine my motives. Am I doing things for the right reason? You can do right and not do it for the right reason. Biblical example, that was Judas. When she came in and she broke the ointment box to anoint Jesus, and he said, this could have been sold and given to the poor. Well, it sounded really good. Made Judas sound really spiritual. What's the Bible say? They said not if he cared for the poor, but he held the purse. He wanted to be able to skim off that money. He didn't want to give the poor. But boy, it looked good to the other disciples that he was concerned about the poor. No, his motives weren't right. So we can do things or have the idea of doing things right when our motives are wrong. We need to make sure they're right. It allows us to give evidence of our love for the Lord, and then it allows us to be part of the reaching world, reaching the world with the gospel. Let's make sure we're all involved and doing our part in Faith Promise Missions. Amen. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you this morning for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to be mindful of the benefits, Lord, of Faith Promise Missions giving, that we would all get involved and do our part. Now, God, bless the services to follow. Lord, I do pray that your word would go forth and have its will and way in our lives. Lord, if there's anyone lost here today, God, that they would trust you as a result of the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray.